I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. The detention facility at the U.S. Naval Base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, has been a lightning rod for criticism since the first captured enemy combatants touched down there. That was nearly a decade ago. But U.S. involvement in this isolated corner of Cuba dates back much further than that. And there's a lot more to the base than a high-profile military prison. Harvard University professor Jonathan Hansen offers this lesser-known fact. Guantanamo is a rich nature preserve.
There's an irony to this great nature preserve that is Guantanamo Bay, in which that is most of us can't go to most of those places because there's all sorts of unexploded ordnance. And in fact, people say that from time to time they hear explosions and everyone says, so what was that? Was that a Cuban trying to make their way to the base? And more often it was a deer. So if you have a nature preserve in which not even the deer is safe, then you have to wonder how much of a nature preserve is it really? But it truly is a spectacular place just to visit. And as I say, the bird life is remarkable.
The remarkable bird life of Guantanamo is just part of the narrative Jonathan Hansen weaves in his book, Guantanamo, An American History. Hansen describes how America's interest in Cuba, and Guantanamo Bay in particular, dates back to the 1700s. He says the founding fathers believed that if the United States wanted to become a global trading powerhouse, it needed to control access to the Caribbean Sea. And the biggest passage into the Caribbean happens to flow through Guantanamo Bay.
We seized the bay from Spain in the opening salvo of the Spanish-American War. We retained the bay during the U.S. occupation of Cuba between 1898 and 1902. And then we forced Cuba to lease us the bay as part of the notorious Platt Amendment that brought formal occupation of Cuba to an end in 1902.
Does the United States now pay rent on Guantanamo Bay?
So we paid rent on Guantanamo Bay for a while, a laughable little amount.
It's like a dollar a year, wasn't it?
It was more than that. I think it was $200 a year or so. But Fidel Castro famously has stopped cashing the checks because he thinks that it's an offense.
You know, there's so much history there, and you go into great detail in the book, which is fascinating. But in pushing forward, after 9/11, Guantanamo Bay was not the logical, in fact, far from the logical place for a U.S. prison camp for Afghan detainees.
Right. So the Bush administration set its eyes on Guantanamo starting about December 2001.
They knew we were going to have prisoners that we had to put someplace.
They were looking where else?
Guam?
Well, they knew they had prisoners. So they were looking at Guam. They were looking at some other areas in the Pacific, for instance, other atolls. They were thinking about keeping them on shipboard. They were thinking about keeping them in Afghanistan, though Afghanistan was not stable then. And so they looked at Guantanamo because in the 1990s, the U.S. had detained up to 85,000 Cubans and Haitians behind barbed wire at Guantanamo under the same justification that Guantanamo was sovereign territory of Cuba and hence U.S. constitutional protections, in this case due process, the right to counsel did not apply. And so they thought, well, maybe we could use Guantanamo again. The thing is, there were people at Guantanamo who thought this would be a disastrous place to have a detention facility.
People who worked there.
Namely, a public works officer, of someone who, in fact, had been in military intelligence himself and who knew, as Americans didn't like to admit, that Guantanamo was actually, though it's a great place to have an anchorage, it makes a disastrous naval base in the sense that it is surrounded by Cuban highland. And Cubans were able to photograph
Every visitor
every
who comes
single
in.
Thing that
you
happened
were photographed when you were there.
Everything that happened at Guantanamo Bay, I was photographed at Guantanamo Bay, and the people getting off the planes to come look at Guantanamo as a potential site were photographed at Guantanamo Bay. The detainees were later photographed getting off the bay. So those factors mitigated against putting the prison there in the words of the public works officer, but also Guantanamo is sort of a strange place. The major airfield, which is used now, is on the so-called Leeward Point, which is across from the main base and across from now where we house the Guantanamo prison. So there's a transportation problem. Not only that, but the most remarkable thing about Guantanamo Bay in my mind is that Guantanamo Bay is an American suburb full of up to, say, 10 to 12,000 American civilians now. And to transport the detainees around the base, say to move them now from the prison itself to the courthouse, you have to take them right through the main streets of the naval
base. Which has what?
That consists of everything that a suburb would consist. It consists of neighborhoods, of schools, of supermarkets, of administrative headquarters, right? This is really ironic because if you think about one of the main arguments that's preventing Barack Obama from moving these detainees to the United States, it's that it would be unsafe to have these so-called terrorists in American cities and towns. And here you have one town that's literally ripped in half by the movement of these prisoners every time they have to go from the prison to the courthouse.
But it's not here.
But it's not here. Right. It's in Cuba. And it's on an island.
Well, Donald Rumsfeld, the defense secretary at the time, said that Guantanamo Bay was the least worst place. Was it just that it was not here in the United States? I mean, what made it the least worst place and therefore suitable for a prison camp?
Well, the major argument, beside the fact that it was in Cuba, that it was highly defensible, and maybe one of the most defensible place in the world right now, because Southeast Cuba is very isolated anyway. We have this base. It's been ours, and it's Cuba, about which Cuba has nothing to say, especially since the rise of Castro. So it's extremely isolated, and symbolically, I think that's very nice. But also, it is this place where, as I've said, U.S., Cuban law, and international law are thought not to apply. And John Yoo, the man who worked in George Bush's Office of Legal Counsel, insisted that despite the fact that courts had flirted with extending constitutional protections to Guantanamo, he insisted that that would not be the case this time. So that's the main reason. It was a place where they could do whatever they wanted.
So, Jonathan, if that's the case, then why is it that you think the current detention operation at Guantanamo should remain open?
What I have argued is that over the last 10 years, human rights lawyers, excellent journalists, have introduced a modicum of transparency and habeas corpus, constitutional protection at Guantanamo Bay, and that it might be better to keep the detainees in a place where we have that than in other places where we have none of that.
Historian Jonathan Hansen, professor at Harvard University. The book is called Guantanamo: An American History. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.